Hey y'all. Hey y'all. This one is explicit.
Elsie, long time no speak, huh?
Right. Now I'm a little less dying.
Less excited to talk to me?
Less. No, I'm always excited to talk to you. I was just so upset. Can we just let everybody know? Well, because nobody knew. Like, oh my God.
No, they'd still know because I still... Here's what happened. So we recorded. We had to squeeze in time to record. I don't remember why. I remember why. Because I had no... I was sick one day last week, and then 2 days my nanny was sick, and she's sick again today, actually. My housekeeper's watching the baby so I can record with you.
Oh, goodness.
I know. We've had like a plague going through Delaware. Everyone has it. And so we squeezed in time to record Wednesday night or Thursday night last week, and then it got... It went bye-bye. It's like it got corrupted or she couldn't open it. And like, I went full recap on her ass for PodFest.
Totally.
And then now I'm going to have to recap it again. But I was just like, I can't tell you all about it again because I had waited for a week to tell her about it because I wanted to get her genuine reaction to it. So now what's going to happen is I'm going to tell you guys who are listening about my recap, and Elsie will just have to be like, yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
Say that a lot.
And it was so hard because, first of all, and now I feel like I'm going to say, like you heard last time, but none of you guys heard. So I'm going to just say things again. It doesn't really matter because nobody heard.
Yes, but I like when you have the original reaction.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. It's like I thought, and it was so hard for me not to ask you more questions. Like, how was it? Like I knew that that's the way that we wanted to do it.
Well, now you can ask more questions.
Yeah, that's true.
So there's a silver lining at the rain cloud. But also, I'm never going to let the recording of the whole thing just be on your shoulder. Like, I can record it too.
Right.
That's our lesson, is that what happens is Elsie and I record separately, and then she records also via call recorder. I never do. Mostly the reason is because for some reason my bandwidth is always shite. But like, I have to chance it because I can't let Elsie be the only one in charge of getting a full double recording. I have to be, even if it's ScreenFlow. I have to, Elsie, because it's not fair for her to be crying in her cornflakes because she messed up when really I wasn't recording it anyway. I was only recording me. Anyway, so after a couple of days, I was just like, man, she's really beating herself up. It's not even all her fault.
Well, you know, and that's just a lesson for everybody because, you know, knock on wood. You know, I've been using call recorder forever.
Years. Yeah.
And I've recorded over 200 episodes on call recorder and I've never had a fail. And,
Me either, usually, actually. When
I record, you know, the feed or if I do any other kind of recordings, whatever, it's usually worked out. And for the feed, Rob also records on his end. And usually I've had to ask him for his side of the recording a couple of times. But here's the thing, though. I've never had to ask for my side of the recording.
Right. So why would you?
And so that's the thing. It's like I always have a lot. Like my local copy has always worked out.
So you weren't recording a backup of just you, and I wasn't recording a backup of just us. And
yes.
So there was no Elsie.
Exactly. So there was no Elsie. There was Jess. And then I have this really great idea, and I think it would have worked out really awesome. I'll tell you my idea really, really quickly. Was of me listening to you talk about PodFest and totally do like one of those sort of like American Life type shows where I would be narrating and then Jess said, and then you would come out and you would talk about like whatever you were talking about. And then I would like very easily comment or something like that and then take it somewhere else. And I thought that would be, but I wouldn't really do it serious. It would be sort of kind of comedic.
And then,
so it would be something like that. And I thought that would be really fun for our listeners. And I was only going to do the chunk where you were talking about PodFest.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, that's going to take a long time. And I thought, when am I going to get a chance to write that script? But anyway, so I'm just glad we're recording right now. Hopefully, this will get done and you'll get an episode today.
I think it'll be okay. So without further ado,
yes.
I'm going to recap PodFest way faster than I did the first time.
Let's do it, yo. Let's do it.
So I feel like I should reorganize it just to keep things interesting for you, Elsie. So I'm going to talk about first the experience as a podcaster, a speaker. And just the event itself having nothing to do with outside influence. Okay. So I was asked to speak. Katie and Chris are my, you know, are good friends. We've met a couple times. She podcasts. Katie Kremitzos has the Biz Women Rock podcast. And Chris has one about theater, which I didn't know if you knew that. It's like audio theater podcast. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. So they asked me to speak back in December. And I was like honored, and of course I would do it. And it's at the Ramada in Tampa, and I've never been to Tampa. And I was like, Florida in February, you'll have to twist my arm. So I go there, and she podcast hosted the opening night dinner, which I have to say, I was like super, well, this came about because they were just like, we'll have to have a girls meetup. And I was like, sure, if you want, I can even sponsor the meetup. And she was like, why don't you sponsor the opening party? Boom, we sponsored the opening party. But all I did was actually host it. The sponsors were, and I just want to thank them again, John Buchanis, who's our editor from Audio Editing Solutions.
Yay.
And Christy Hausler from Team Podcast. Thank you guys so much for your generosity. And then also Jessica Rhodes from Interview Connections and Heather Rampola from Heather Rampola Photography slid in kind of at the last minute to help me out. And I really appreciate it so much because we ended up having food for everyone there. That's what, and Jessica got here and she was like, wait, it's cash bar. What the hell did my money pay for? Because she couldn't go get a drink. And I was like, for the food, because there's food, like a full, what I wanted was for there to be like full food. And we'll talk about what actually, I mean, it was hors d'oeuvres, but we'll talk about the quality in a minute. Okay. So it was really nice. And people were coming in like right off the airport. They were stopping in and then going up to their hotel. And it was kind of nice because it was like Desmond Adams, Dave Jackson, Jessica was there with her family. And I got to play with the baby and the little one. Katie and Chris were there. I'm trying to think who else. A lot of their friends that were there for the actual event. And so here's the thing, because Katie and Chris are business owners. They own the Tampa Bay Business Owners Association. I think a lot of the audience was business owners that wanted to start a podcast that are in their group because they were local and a lot of them were a little older too, which I didn't expect. I sort of expected it to be like Podcast Movement but smaller, but instead it was like 55 plus like business owners who want to start a podcast, which is fine. In that way though, the audience and the speakers were slightly segregated only because they all knew each other and we all knew each other, but we didn't know each other. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And now it makes sense. And go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. And Natalie Ekdahl showed up and like we got to have dinner with like all these, like Jeff Brown, like all these people I didn't get to talk to before, Daryl Darnell, that I really wanted to talk to. We got to all sit around and like trade stories, like at the bar and like like eating together. And that part was super nice. And so the next day, Chris came to me and he was like, thank you so much for hosting that party. I left with such a good feeling. It was such a great start to the week. Like it was the best. And I was like, thank you. And let's thank our sponsors again. And so he thanked him from the podium again, and then the thing started. So the first day was all 101 stuff. And so I had planned out my day to like see the things I wanted to see. And then I realized like, oh, he's teaching them how to like use Libsyn. I don't need this course. But they had set up they'd set up two things actually. First of all, when you walked into the room, it was a miniature version of what Podcast Movement's keynote room looked like. Two huge screens, chandelier, podium, mics, video, audio, everything was all set up and perfect. The only difference was the booths were all in the room with you because it was a small event. So like Podcast Movement's in one corner, Jess Rhodes is in another corner, Podfly, Pro Podcasting Solutions, like everyone's already there and they're watching. That's the thing about speaking at one of these though, is just like everyone at the convention is going to see you. It is like keynoting, even if you just have a session, because everyone is seeing everything together the whole time.
That's what I think. That's so exciting because it's like
it made me really nervous actually.
I saw the room. I mean, I didn't really see the room. I saw whatever people were sharing in the room.
Yeah,
you know?
Yes, yes.
And it looked like a really big room. So I thought like, wow, that looks like big. Like, it looks so serious. Cause usually you see like, you know, it looks like it's a tiny room and you see the fluorescent lights and you figure like, oh.
I expected it to be like where we had our session at Podcast Movement, like a small.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like 100-person. It was not. It's a huge ballroom. They might have had
That's
a few.
Awesome.
And like also a whole hallway outside of that room was a hallway with Mark Johansson and 7 microphones and headphones. And you could test your voice on each
that
one to see what
so
you like
rad.
To do.
I
it was
totally
so cool.
So love it. So
every
love
person
it.
There got to hear how they sound on a Heil and a Shure and an ATR and everything they had. It was great. I know, Elsie, I'm telling you, everyone asked about you. You would have loved it.
That
so
just
so
made
they
me
had
sad.
That set up. And so it was nice and like cozy. But then if it wasn't your thing, they had an extra like, I want to call it the green room, but it was just a little lounge for the speakers to like mastermind together all day. So like after Danny Pena did the keynote, and then he went into lounge and hung out with like Dave Jackson and like Glenn the Geek and like all these people who've been podcasting for a really long time. And then they somehow either hired or had a film crew doing a podcast documentary. So throughout the whole thing, they're also interviewing all these experts about the future of podcasting and how they started and why they started and why it's beneficial. And like Tina Dietz was interviewing people, and she is such a delight. I love Tina Dietz. She was amazing. Wait till you meet her. She's the coolest.
That's awesome.
She is the coolest chick ever. But anyway, so she's interviewing people. So you could either be interviewed, or you could be in the lounge, or you could go to your room and do some work, or you could work because it was free Wi-Fi. Not anywhere to eat except for the place we were. Let's just talk about the hotel. So that was the first day. And then the second day was more of the advanced stuff. And there was some stuff that I didn't want to miss. Natalie spoke with me about masterminds, I think. Maybe we both spoke. No, Friday. Friday was the more advanced day, and she and I didn't speak. And actually, I had my headshots done that day, and I left half my clothes on the bed. And so Heather actually took me to the mall first, because she's from Tampa, and helped me pick out clothes to wear, and then took my picture. And I'll post some of them. They're really good. She's really good, and she's probably going to be doing at Podcast Movement headshots. It's $200 for an hour, and it was the best $200 I ever spent, because she's the one photographer that's ever gotten a full body shot that didn't make me look like a pig. So I'm super excited.
I love her. I want more.
Where do you see these other ones? I know you've seen them. Like, some of them I look like a podcasting stock photo model, but there's others in a black and white. I haven't even shown you, Elsie, the black and white striped dress. They're great. She helped me pick out the dress, and it's super. Where do you see? They're great.
I'm jealous.
Super good. I know. We have to talk about having ours done together. So in Chicago. And I think she'll be
in
Chicago.
And I want some for myself, too.
Yeah, yes. And you need some for yourself.
Whiny. That was such a whiny voice. I want my tea.
It's okay. So day two was that. And then there was a party at some brewery, but they didn't have food. It was just beer. So we walked in and walked right back out, because I was like, I can't drink and there's no food here and I'm starving to death. Because the thing is, when there's only one restaurant and there's nowhere to walk, we kind of didn't eat. Like, I feel like I didn't eat for 4 days. It's just not their fault. But like, I didn't come down early enough for breakfast. I didn't necessarily want to stop for lunch because I was getting my picture taken. And then dinner was supposed to be this party and it was just beer. It was one kind of beer. So I was like, so Natalie and Liz Kovar and Natalie's friend Carol and I went to this amazing restaurant and had, oh my God, a beautiful steak. And she had salmon and she had lobster mac and cheese. And it was just so fun and delicious. And
we drank lobster
mac and cheese. I know. That's what Liz had. It was
Lobster mac and cheese.
It was like penny. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And it was delicious. And then Friday, what happened? Friday, we had a I want to say this was Saturday. We had a panel and then I left and came home. And so that part was really good. Now the surroundings, because like I've been to a Ramada before. And in fact, last time there was a big snowstorm here and we lost power. I had to go stay in like a Days Inn. It smelled like cigarettes and it was pretty bad. And this was like, it was a Ramada. So like I kind of knew what to expect, but I was still shocked. If you want to know the truth, like, and I mean, the bed was nice. I would stay there again, knowing that it's a motel, not a hotel.
Right.
They try really hard to be a hotel and they have a pretty decent restaurant. But I think, and my husband says this is typical, a lot of Ramadas on the Southern East Coast are owned by Indian families. So it was an Indian restaurant, but it also had like, it was called the Royal Orchid Bar and Grill. So they had like normal breakfast and like normal lunch and dinner, but then also a shit ton of Indian food, and the whole menu's done in Indian, which is fine. It was just like surprising that they would have hamburgers because they don't eat cows. Indian people don't eat cows. But anyway, so walk in, check in, go to my room and step off the elevator and I'm outside and I was just like, oh my God, I'm in a motel. And then when I got to the room, it smelled a lot like cleaning product and the bed looks fine, but then you turn your head slightly to the right and the chair is like the most frightening chair I've ever seen. And actually I visited Natalie's room the next night, same thing, great bed, frightening ass chair. I don't know where they got these chairs.
And that's what made me laugh the first time you said that, because I was like, I don't know if that chair now makes me scared. Like I'll probably have
orange
a little
corduroy
bit of nightmares.
I'm not shitting you, it's orange corduroy.
Wow.
And when did they even have those chairs? You can imagine how old.
Yeah,
it
well,
is.
You were talking about those little scratchies that were at the bottom part.
Yes, worn, and they're worn. They've been sat on to the point of being worn. That is scary as well. And then and the TV was fine, and then the closet was in the bathroom. And I'm still not over it. I don't know why it had to be in the bathroom. Why they couldn't use some other wall space, because it wasn't a small room, but like, that did not make me happy. And I've never seen that before. And also the toilet didn't flush. Like, I had to stand there and hold it. That was annoying. Like, stuff like that.
I'm always so afraid I'm going to clog up somebody else's toilet.
And it's, yeah, but in a hotel.
Like, and that's just like, oh, that would be horrible. Not clog it up. But sometimes, you know, there are a lot of toilets that just don't flush. But I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. And then the party, like, okay, so even though the food in the restaurant was technically good, she had told me over the phone, like, oh, Katie and Chris love what we put together, and we always do like a chef's choice for them, and it's like chicken satay with peanut butter sauce and chicken cordon bleu and like blah blah. And I was like, great, that sounds great. Well, the chicken cordon bleu was like a fried like mothball. It was like a sponge. It was an it was like someone wadded up a bunch of tissues and then put it in panko crumbs and then fried it. There was no cheese, no ham, no nothing in there. And then the chicken satay was chicken on a stick, but it was barbecue sauce, not peanut. I don't even know why. Who would even eat that? It was so weird. And then like frozen egg rolls. That's what our money went to. And so again, sponsors, you win some, you lose some, but I'm always going to appreciate your support. Yeah. So the hotel was like meh, but the company was it was so worth it that like I would stay there again every year for the rest of my life just to go to this event. That's when you know you have a good event. When you could literally camp. Which it wasn't camping. It was a comfortable bed. So that is a stretch. But the rest of it was camping, like as far as hotels are concerned. And I would still go. But next year it's in St. Petersburg, and they even have the date. It's like the 23rd through the 25th. And Elsie and I have already been asked to speak, and I may even be doing a roast there. So like, if you guys want to see it or come, get ready, because it'll be really fun. And then that kind of brings us to Podcast Movement, which is the next one coming up. Yep. And that is July 6th through the 8th. And we are having a brunch on the 9th, the Saturday. And so if you could just save the date, make your travel arrangements around that date. We're going to be talking more about that very, very soon.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that, because there's a possibility. There's a lot of possibilities of what we're going to be doing there. But one of them could possibly be like a live podcast.
That's my favorite idea, for sure.
Which I think is going to be phenomenal, because we might even have, you know, people come up and take a seat with us, and I think it would be really great.
That's the best idea.
So excited.
And so if you haven't gotten your ticket yet, we have a coupon code SB40. You'll get $40 off with that coupon. And I think we even get it's an affiliate link, so we may even get some money if you buy it through us. So please do. That would be so awesome. It will go towards our event. So thank you.
Woohoo.
And then I will stop now, because last time it took like 40 minutes for me to tell that story, and now it's 20. So I feel good about that.
But then that's also because I've already heard it. So I'm not so interrupting you about all the stuff. But you got everything done.
It's not as fun to tell you jokes twice. It feels stupid.
No. But everybody else, I'm sure, was. The only thing that I'm sad about, you know what? I'm still going to possibly, maybe we can do something with that recording, because it's like you are pristine, and it would be really great to get, like, there's a couple of really key moments of things that the way that you said it, especially when you were talking about the hotel. That
Oh, yeah. I didn't describe like the sequined walls and stuff. Like the hotel's ridiculous. But
there's a lot of really great stuff. But anyway, but now we're going to be just switching off a little bit to some podcasting news.
For the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
So there is a lot of information over at iTunes. Connect. Yeah. We talked about it in the last episode, iTunes Connect, and it is, I believe, podcastsconnect.apple.com. And there is an S in there, podcastsconnect.apple.com. And what you do there now is kind of like the new place where you are supposed to submit your RSS feed when you are launching a new podcast. That's basically now the place that you do it, right? We, instead of going into iTunes, we kind of talked about this in the last episode, where it says submit a podcast. Even if you tap onto that iTunes link, it will take you to this portal, which is now browser-based, and that's where you submit it. So it's
hurrah!
And it's the idea is
so much better.
Fantastic. It is also the place where I believe Apple and iTunes will eventually send people to do their initial troubleshooting for their own podcast. So like, you know, whenever you see all those, because we see this in She Podcasts all the time. I have not seen my latest episode in iTunes. I don't know why this isn't happening. Where's my artwork? You know, you see like all kinds of complaints about iTunes.
Is that how they talk?
That is talk. Well, you know what that is? That's what it feels like to me when I read it.
Now you know, folks.
No, but I mean, I'm not making fun of you guys. I completely understand. No, and it's really hard because where do you go find help? Well, now this is supposedly the best place to go would be going into your Podcasts Connect account, because it has an account that is aligned with your Apple ID. And then you're able to see things about your podcast within there. You can see whether or not your RSS feed is valid. You can see the last time your feed was pinged or updated. You can also see, I think that there's other stuff, information that they're going to be periodically adding there because it's still being updated. The thing is, there's a lot of people who are incredibly confused by this, thinking that now they have to go update that every time they publish an episode. And that is not the case. You really don't ever have to go in there unless you have a problem or you have not submitted your podcast to iTunes yet. And there are some things that are changing. So given all of the confusion and knowing that there's a lot of people who have podcasts about podcasting that are introducing this, like us, to their audience and oftentimes may not be as clear as they could be, Crystal from support at Libsyn and myself are going to be doing like a total in-depth walkthrough through the back end of the Podcast Connect for this Wednesday, actually this Wednesday at 7 p.m. So it would be March 9th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a Libsyn Live support hangout on air, like, and you can chat and you can watch us walk through the back end. And it's also a podcast. It's an episode and it can be subscribed to for audio or video. But it would be great if you guys showed up live so that if you have any questions, we can answer them for you. And of course, you can find it in YouTube if you cannot. But Crystal is an incredible educator, particularly when walking through things that are completely technical and making them really accessible. And she's is so clear about the things that you really do need to pay attention to. So if you are not doing anything, please show up and check us out. March 9th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to give a shout out to, dude, we have a patron.
Yes. I was so excited. Thank you, patron.
Isn't that amazing? Ruel. We're calling you out, man. Thank you so much for the love.
Ruel's Running Podcast. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And, you know,
it means so much.
It just meant a lot just to see that. And it's exciting to know that somebody cares.
I know. I'm so excited. Oh my God, thank you.
It's going to make me cry. So if you guys want to see our patron page, which I believe, I think Jessica has done a fantastic job with our Patreon page.
Patreon.com/shepodcast, right?
Yep. Yep. So you can go check it out. And we'll put a link in the show notes and stuff. So those are some of the sort of like news and information that I have out there as of now. And we're going to switch a little bit now to some of the latest obsessions and tips and tricks that I have as of now.
Elsie's tool tip.
Because I've been obsessing. So in terms of content, Jessica, guess what I've been doing?
What?
I've been watching a video podcast of all things, for gosh's sake.
I know. I know. How do you even have the time when you're cooking all the time?
Because it's kind of... I usually watch... You know what? I've got that like video... Usually videos, or particularly this video podcast, I watch when I'm having breakfast because it's short. It's around 30 minutes. So it is Kicking and Screaming with Bodhi and Jenna Elfman.
Yeah.
So it's a funny one. And it kind of reminded me of the feeling that I get when we get behind the mic and we kind of just talk about stuff and we don't really hold back. There's a little bit of a structure, but after that, they're kind of real. And they really talk about Bodhi and Jenna are married. And Jenna Elfman, I think most of you guys perhaps might remember her from Dharma and Greg, the beautiful, tall blonde. And she's still beautiful, tall, and blonde. And hilarious. And both of them are hilarious. And you know, I've kind of like gotten to know Bodhi a little bit through Libsyn because he's kind of reached out to me for a couple of things, you know, lots of support, troubleshooting here and there throughout the year. So it's not like all of a sudden we've been doing this. And then he told me that they've been really getting serious about the podcast. They're now with The Nerdist. And that kind of made them like feel like, oh, we have to put an episode out every week, you know, to kind of like really go for it. And I hadn't had a chance to check it out. And one of the problems that he had been having is that he was coming up with storage limits because he was doing video, and video eats up a lot more storage than audio does. And I, you know, my first question to people that are doing video is, what is your, you know, how many people are watching your video versus your audio? And he was like, well, it's around, gosh, 60 to 70%. And that to me blew my mind because that is not the case. Usually it's around 10 to 15% people watching the video, and then the rest of them are the audio folk, right? Because that's just what happens. And so I'm like, "How? What the heck is going on with that?" And he was like, well, my wife is cute. I was like,
okay.
Okay, that's good. And, you know, and yes, Jenna is super cute. And I was really intrigued because I'm like, why are people watching, you know, this podcast? And I put it on, and it's really – it's not very complicated. It's not like they're doing all these crazy shots. They just have – their setup is inside their home. It has great lighting. It looks like it's in their living room. And it's just them sitting like on a sort of like counter. And they're sitting behind it and they're holding their microphones. And it's sort of like a talk show. It's super, super simple. But there's something about watching their interaction back and forth that really makes it worth watching. And I don't know what it is because it's not like it's complicated. And so I thought, like, this is a way to make a video podcast work. There's got to be, obviously, it's really high, not highly produced, but they really put a lot of work to make that little tiny shot as clear and beautifully lit as possible and very simple. And it's just, I love it. I totally love it. And I love their interaction. I could see their faces. They play to the camera. So what's really interesting to me is that there's a lot of the time where Jenna will speak straight to the camera and she makes you feel like you're her buddies. You know, like, do you understand? Like if Bodhi's saying something that she's like, yeah, like he's going to tell his story again. Or you hear what I have to put up with? Like she'll make those faces to the camera. And I kind of dig that. I love the extra stuff that you get through it. So if you guys want to check out that, you guys could do it. What do you think, Jess? I think we would do well with a video podcast like that. If we were together.
We would. Yeah, of course. You know,
it would be the best thing. I would
People
love it.
People have told me that a lot because our faces are so expressive.
I know.
So it makes sense if you want to do it.
Yeah. So, right. We would have to be flying to each other to record. Yeah.
No. But, oh, you mean to do it in person? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because I'm not okay doing eCam call recorder with the cameras back and forth. Like it has to have a little bit more. I was on the Pizza Beer Revolution show, and I think they do a really great show with different cameras and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I really like the way that they set it up. So if you guys want to check that out as well, they do a video component to their show and audio as well. I like the way that they're set up. So that is a possibility, but I think there's a lot more involved. But anyway, that's my favorite thing ever as of right now. I've been watching that. And I have a new app that I wanted to let you guys know that I'm also checking out, which has, again, nothing to do with this has nothing to do with podcasting. It's called Oximeter because I've been a little bit obsessed with measuring oxygen in my daughter's body. Which sounds really weird that I say that.
Yes.
But
well, explain.
Well, yeah. Well, she was having a cough for a long, long time, and we thought she had pneumonia. We took her to the doctor, but she didn't have anything there. But the nurse, when she was taking her oxygen level and taking her blood pressure, said that her oxygen was a little bit low. And so then when the doctor heard her lungs and checked her out and all that stuff, there was nothing that showed that there was something wrong with her or that she had pneumonia or that she had bronchitis or that she had anything like that. But I was still kind of talking about it. And what I did is I actually use WhatsApp because WhatsApp, the app, is used in the whole entire world other than in the United States more than any other chat app. And I chatted with my uncle, who is a doctor in El Salvador, and he told me to download this app, and it's called Oximeter. the premise is that you put your little finger on the camera button and it shines like the flashlight aspect of it. You put your finger on there, you smash it on there, and it measures your blood pressure as well as your oxygen level based on, I guess, what it sees or what it reads. And so I've been kind of checking my daughter's stuff, and she seems to be doing fine. And I've been checking it myself as well. Although I have to say that it's a little iffy. It's a little like, yeah, sometimes it really works. And then sometimes you're like, really? No way. It works a lot better with the oxygen level stuff. Other than, you know, the blood pressure stuff, it's not doing.
What
so
is
good.
It going to indicate for you if there's a change?
What do you mean? Oh, it just gives you like it tracks it like as soon as you take it. And then let's say you take it again or you measure yourself again in an hour or 2 hours, it will give you a new reading. And then it also tracks it so that you can see where it went, like when it went up, when it went down, that kind of stuff. But you have to manually check it out yourself, which is, you know. It's fine. I mean, I've really enjoyed having the ability to have it with me. So, yeah. Yay for me.
Cool.
And then my last little Snapchat. Snapchat. Did you hear that? It's already coming out of my. I'm too obsessed. My other obsession is Snapchat. People. I've been diving deep, and I've gotten you to Snapchat with me a little bit, Jess. I have.
Yes. We're Snapchatting. You're way more into it than me because I have no idea what I would do or say.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, part of the thing with me right now is that I've just wanted to put stuff out so that I know how the platform works. So I've been playing around with different pictures and filters and text and how you do this and how you make things up. And I've been enjoying watching other people's snaps, and I've learned a lot through there. I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos, but not YouTube videos on how to use Snapchat. But this is a real hint, guys. Go into YouTube and search for like Snapchat tips or hacks in YouTube and watch the ones that are made by teenagers. Because then you will really learn about Snapchat and how it, like, you can really work it in that fashion. But there's a lot of marketers that are using it nowadays. I've been trying to see how podcasters have been using it. I've only found two podcasts right now that are really focusing their Snapchat and doing a lot more snapping around their podcast. And one of them is one of my clients, A Nun's Life, who I adore. So these group of nuns have been traveling around. I think they just came back, but they've been traveling around visiting other monasteries and sort of doing live podcast episodes at the different monasteries. And what they do is they travel, they carry all of their podcasting gear, they set it up, they have a team. I mean, and they're all nuns. So they sit there and they just do, and they give you like a look of what they're behind the scenes of what they're doing. And they are hilarious. I mean, hilarious. And they show you like they're basically little snaps of their daily life as nuns. And they have the best sense of humor. So to me, it's another way to get to know them. And it's another way, like I'm telling you guys about this. And if you guys follow A Nun's Life, you'll get a whole other view of what a nun's life really is, rather than the one that you think it is inside of your own head. And it might possibly make you want to listen to their podcast, which is like exactly what we want. So for them, it's a really great platform. And the other one, I think it's called Hey Frazee or Fraze, Hey Frase. And I believe it's a comedy podcast, and it's a co-hosted show. And again, what they do is they snap, or somebody else does this. Actually, they get behind the mic, and I'm sure somebody's holding the camera and snapping bits and pieces of their conversation back and forth, and totally making the little emojis and you know, arrows and writing comments and getting little bits and pieces of their show as it's being recorded. And they're snapping it out. And I thought that was a really intriguing way to do it as well. So there are interesting things to do. What I did this weekend, and already, unfortunately, with Snapchat, everything's gone 24 hours. So what I did is I snapped my whole...
You can save it. Did you know that?
Yeah, I do. Okay. But I wasn't going to do that because I haven't figured out a couple of bits of workflow, which I'm not going to get into right now. Okay. But yeah, you can save your entire snap for the 24 hours. But if you don't, it's gone. But what I did is I snapped my entire workflow for publishing an episode of the feed in like little 10-second bits. So I walk through what editing software I use, how I use it, where I put it, when I'm editing, the workflow that I use for that. And then I publish the entire episode. So people got a chance to kind of travel with me, my story of how I published an episode and created the content and put it out and what a software I put out. So I thought that was a really great, I thought it was really awesome for me to be able to share that. I think it would have, for people, especially that are the feed people, would have loved to see that. So
definitely.
Yeah. So it was really fun.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to follow us and see our snaps, I put a couple of little snaps as we're recording this out.
You did?
I did.
I have to look.
I know.
Was just thinking I should do that.
Yeah, you definitely should. It's like what I do when Jess is talking. Now you'll see like, this is what I'm doing. I'm snapping. But no, we're getting, so follow us. I'm at Yo Geek Girl. You can follow me on Snapchat. And you are Jess Kupferman, Jess?
Yes.
Is that right? Jess Kupferman. And you can follow us there. And, you know, maybe one of these days we will do a snap back and forth together when we're doing She Podcasts, or we'll find something fun to do for the community. So on to getting some feedback. Are you ready? From
Mr.
Patrick Keller.
Yes.
And this is about the auto DMs, which I think that resonated with a lot of people. We've been seeing a lot of positive tweets out there. So take it away, Mr. Patrick Keller.
Hey, Elsie and Jess. This is Patrick Keller from the Big Seance Podcast. And I just finished your episode talking about the Twitter automated or Twitter automatic direct messages. And I want to tell you what's more annoying than the automatic direct messages, and that is when you fall for one, or even when you're just responding on purpose, like even if you got a really authentic looking automatic DM and you respond to it, and either they respond like, who are you? Or they don't respond at all. That's really annoying. And that's when I want to punch somebody in the face. So, I think that's more annoying. So I guess I would tell people to, if you're going to have those DM, automatic DM responses, to follow up with them and respond authentically if someone actually falls for it, since that's kind of what you wanted to do in the first place. Anyway, that's really annoying. But I loved your episode. It wasn't annoying. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Yay. How about that? So there is an issue when people put auto DMs and they do instigate conversation from you. They make you feel like they want to know you and get your opinion or something. And then when you, you know, respond, they are radio silent. What do you think about that, Jess?
I mean, I always like when people are radio silent.
No,
it's like my fave.
But when they completely say like, hey, say hi, or tell me your name, or say hello when you, thanks for following us, say hello to us, and then somebody says hello and they're like, who are you? It's like,
oh,
they've never heard of you.
Listen, I mean, I always think that the DMs are ridiculous anyway, so it's like, I don't think people actually expect me to respond to Twitter DMs anyway. Do you? They say, hi, listen to my show, blah, blah, blah.
But no, but there's
really
some people who
don't
really
respond back.
Well, no, there's some people who really do ask for an interaction, or they make you feel like, you know, they are listening. And that's, I think that that's the key. They make you feel as if they are listening when really they're Snapchatting.
Kind of like I'm doing, kind of like what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
I'm pretending to listen to you, but actually I'm staring at myself into the Snapchat camera. And you don't know.
Exactly. But what I'm saying, but yeah, so yes, that is, that it really sucks. So people out there who are using auto DM.
But it doesn't really suck because you can't tell. I'm still doing it.
You are still doing it. That's fine. I don't.
I'm still doing
me
it.
Me too. I'm trying to multitask
care.
One hand, left hand, thumb.
How do we look? People,
we, how do we look? What are you talking about?
Well, because I'm doing video.
Oh, that's right. You're doing video. I did video earlier.
Are you not?
I did do a video earlier, not right now. I took a picture of my awkward position of what I have to put that out because I'm really in an awkward position when I record. But anyway, yeah, that sucks. So thanks, Patrick Keller. That is sort of like the icing on the cake on the badness or the yuckiness of auto DMs. Although, again, you can do them very, very well. But you've got to like really know your audience when you're doing this and who you are as a like person online. And we have a little bit more feedback. Who has actually, she has some really good insight about this. This is from Kirsty, and she is from EnglishWithKirsty.com.
Hi, Jess and Elsie. I'm Kirsty from English with Kirsty, which is a podcast about learning English and effective communication. I just wanted to make a couple of points in relation to the last discussion you had about DMs and Twitter. I think the DMs in themselves can be quite useful. If you want to say something to somebody that you don't share with the rest of Twitter, then that's fine. It's okay if people send me DMs. But the automated ones, I just generally delete. I don't click on the links. I rarely read them. I just bin them when it's clear it's an automated one, because I don't think they serve a purpose. And if anything, they can make me want to unfollow certain people if I've just followed them and they're telling me to rate something or download something or do something, then I just think, well, hey, I don't even know you. Why would I do that? I do promote people's work and rate podcasts and that kind of thing, but the ones that I like. So if I genuinely like your content, I will go and do something to help you to spread the word and get new listeners. Maybe share an episode or something or give you a review, but I won't do that if I don't know anything about your content, because that's a reflection on me. If I'm saying something's good and I don't know whether it's good, then that's not a smart thing to do. So I don't think that automatic DMs are useful. Maybe if you just want to thank somebody for following you and share a message with them or something like that, then it's not so bad. But then if you want to start a dialogue with new followers, then take the time to do it on Twitter and make it open and then try and get some more interaction that way. Also, if you want to promote something like an ebook or a course or a podcast episode or even just your podcast, then you can pin a tweet to the top of your timeline and it's the first thing people will see. And I think that people are more likely to look at that than if you hide the information in an automated DM and spam them with that instead. So I think that's a more effective way to get people to look at the information you want them to see. If you just pin it to the top, and you can change it round if you get a new episode or something that's happening, if you're doing a webinar, then you can pin that for a while. But I think people are more likely to read that than an automated DM, because I think there is a tendency to rely too heavily on automation in Twitter anyway. I know why people do it, and I understand that it's important to send content out multiple times because the Twitter timelines move so quickly, but I think that sometimes people take that too far. And if you're retweeting something every hour or every day, then that's also a bit tedious. And if you then get automated DMs from the same people, you just think, oh, this is too impersonal, and I don't want to interact with somebody if they're going to be running their account in this impersonal way. So those are my thoughts. Thank you for the show. I really enjoy listening to you, and I'm looking forward to the next episode.
There. I thought she had a good idea about, in, you know, if somebody follows you, why not just at reply them here and there?
Why not?
I think that would, right? Wouldn't that?
I agree.
That makes more sense to me. It seems like that would be a nice conversation. And I really like the way, too, that she mentioned using a strategically placed pin at the top of your Twitter page so that when somebody stops by your Twitter profile on Twitter and they see that pinned tweet, and if they are a fan, they are more likely to retweet or share, particularly if it's a good tweet. You know what I mean?
All these little features really make you like, not make you, they kind of force you to be on your game, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think, which brings us back to the automation process, there is something that's incredibly empowering about automation, as you know, and as I know, because we kind of work it. But it doesn't mean that that means that you no longer have to pay attention to it. In fact, let me tell you when it doesn't work. There's a podcast account, and if anybody can find out who runs it, I will absolutely love you forever. And what this account does is that it basically favorites a bunch of tweets. And I think that there maybe it has to do with the hashtag that they're using or something. I'm not quite sure exactly what, or if it's from certain accounts. And then that account, it is Podcast Fanboy. Oh my gosh. And it's even worse than I thought. Holy cow. Okay. So it's funny. It's Podcast Fanboy, but their Twitter handle is misspelled. It says Podcast Fanboy.
Oh no. Oh God. Podcast Fanboy. That's terrible.
I know. So he was supposed to be Podcast Fanboy, but he misspelled his handle is what I think.
No.
So the handle is actually Podcast Fanboy. So if somebody can tell me who runs Podcast Fanboy, please let me know. Because what this cat does, and he has a very positive thing that he wanted to do, is sort of like retweet things that are podcasting related that have a relevance to people who are in podcasting that, you know, it might be helpful for them. But the problem is that it's automated. So it has been retweeting a tweet about a deal that Libsyn did in January and that it's over. And I've at-replied him quite a few times, and I've said, can you please take that tweet out of the rotation? Because we're no longer offering that. It's like so lame. I haven't gotten a response back. So it's kind of not cool. So, yeah. And there's no – the whole point, isn't it, to bring community together, to offer value? Then that means that you have to at least show up and answer when people are putting out stuff. So if any of you guys know who runs that account,
it's hard.
Please let me know.
It's a lot. Isn't that what you would get as a response?
Yeah, I guess. But still, like, he definitely set this thing up to go on autopilot. But if it's not, if it's something that is of a timely manner, take it off. It never stops.
It's so hard. I'm just saying.
I understand.
It is hard.
It is hard.
But you seem to have a knack for it, so everyone else should too.
Well, the thing is, it's like, it's my job. And I think that that's the other aspect of it. I am really, truly interested in it. Like, I like it. The reason that I'm doing the Snapchat stuff is not because I want to add more workflow, but it's because I want to know. I really, truly get kind of psyched about stuff, and I kind of want to dive into it. And then sometimes I have I break up with it. Like, you know, when I was really excited about Clamor.
I'm not saying
that I don't like Clamor. I'm just saying I was really excited about it and I was really working to put out content in that platform. And I was really excited. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And then I just lost interest. Not to say that, it's not like it's not a viable platform. And if you really, really dig it, you'll stick to it. But I go through phases like that with social media. And I think that we need to honor what that is. The only time that I feel it's important for you to continue through and keep going is if you're hired to run the social media of a specific company, or you're working as a social media manager for somebody, then you do keep going. Like, you don't just go, well... You know?
Well, so that's why you have the approach that you have. Other people are just like, they self-sabotage or they forget or other things come up. They don't see it as a job. They don't see their social media as a job. And so it goes by the wayside, but it shouldn't ever.
Yeah, I know. And I've seen, you know, the more engaged you are, and I know, and I don't want to in any way, shape, or form add to somebody else's stress level, because I know what that feels like for me. Mm-hmm. To have to be on all these platforms, because that's the first thing, you know, I got so excited. I posted about Snapchat on the She Podcast page and group. Snapchat works best when you have people following you and you can have interactions. I mean, it's not so fun when you're just snapping stuff out into the ether. And then it's like, well, what does that mean? Right. Mm-hmm. So I want other people to kind of experience it with me. And then I know that there's a lot of I don't know if I want to be in another platform. I don't know if I'll have enough time. I'm not sure if this. Well, if you're having that reaction going through there, it's OK. You don't have to. You totally don't do it if you're excited. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Don't do it unless you're going to do it.
Don't do it if you're not. Exactly.
Otherwise, Elsie will just come after you.
And I, yes. And then I'm going to tell you no more automation. It doesn't work that way anymore.
Right. Right. So the point is not to do it unless you're going to do it. And actually, there's a couple takeaways that I got from Podcast Movement, which kind of fall into this. First of all, Desmond Adams talked about Manage Flitter, which is the thing I use to automate. And this is what caused this whole crazy scenario in the first place, because I started using Manage Flitter and then made Elsie crazy because everyone was like, thanks for following me. How about joining my podcast? Hey, thanks for that. You know, and it was just started to make her nutty, which I thought was really funny. But well, she didn't. It was only not funny. It was only not funny to you because I didn't tell you. I probably should have. In retrospect, I should have told you.
I think it was hilarious. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. But anyway, continue.
Okay. So then also, I got this great idea. And I mean, not to be all promo-y, but it just kind of like fits in. Well, so first let me tell you about So Natalie and I, we got to hang out at PodFest. And for people who like want to get this stuff done, but like it's a lot to manage because like I was saying, like, you're doing your show and you also have to manage the marketing and stay on top of the community. And like Elsie and I, it's both of us and we both split it and it's still a lot, I feel like, for me to do. And she's doing, she takes over like all the community and stuff. And like, just like, it's a lot. It's a lot for one person to do. So
it is.
Our friend, Natalie Ekdahl, who does the Biz Chicks podcast, she is doing this awesome like podcast mastermind, but it's not a mastermind like the way SheP VIP was last year. It's basically an accountability group, people who want goal accountability and a community of people to work with. And she makes you apply because she doesn't want people of the same type of show all working together, because then it's just like a business podcast accountability group and not, you know, it's good to have people with different outlooks that she finds. Actually, this was what her whole talk was about masterminding. And how to do one for your show. But anyway, basically the group stays together for 12 weeks. They meet once a week and there's a private Facebook group for them to post in there, like what's going on. And she is I always call Natalie the hammer. She's really good at keeping people accountable for things. She follows up. She's on your ass like nobody's business. And anyway, so they rotate being in the hot seat also, where the group can speak and provide support on everyone else's podcast. So it would be really good if you do want to take your show to the next level that you would join. So the page is bizchicks.com/shepodcast. We were talking about doing this at PodFest, and then she was just like, but I haven't filled it. And I was like, but why don't you just sponsor our show where we talk to women podcasters? It was like, she... Because, you know, I kind of was like, I felt like Captain Obvious a little bit. But on the other hand, it was kind of like, I think she thought that you and I were doing something similar, but we're not. She just didn't want to step on her toes. Yeah. But no, we would recommend Natalie for this over anybody, I think, because we've worked with her.
Totally. No, she's incredible.
She is incredible. So organized. So type A. So good at masterminds.
And it doesn't seem like it. Meaning...
laid back because she's from California. So it sneaks up on you.
When she puts it together, it's like she's never organized, like she's not working, kind of. You know what I mean? Like it's just so organic that it seems like it's like you're hanging out having tea with her at her house.
Yeah.
So, but after you finish, you're like, whoa.
Everything's done.
I did so much.
Meanwhile, she's going ham on you and you don't even know.
Exactly. That's so great.
So check out BizChicks, bizchix.com/shepodcast if you want to join. There's no, you know, she just needs a good amount of people to be interested. And so right now, it's not like there's a deadline where she's starting it tomorrow. She is looking for the right people and then she will start it when it is full. So check it out, or you can always email her, natalie@bizchicks.com, if you have questions about it. And then also the other takeaway I had for our other sponsor, Boss Jock, somebody said something about there was on the 101 day, there was a tutorial about, it was all about mobile podcasting. The whole thing was mobile podcasting, and the thing he was teaching was Boss Jock, which I was like super happy and excited about. But also, I had the best idea while he was talking, which was to get the podcasters there, who I know are fans of the show, to do a promo in Boss Jock. And then, Elsie, you and I could just be like, before every show, hi, this is Dave Jackson from School of Podcasting. You're listening to She Podcasts, which I think would be so fun. It's kind of like you're watching E.
Yeah. You're watching SheP. Well, you're listening to She
on ABC. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so I think that's what I'm going to do in Chicago is try and get as many promos as I can from listeners. And actually, if you're listening and you want to send one, we'll start now.
Yeah,
just
why not?
Just do like a hi, your name, your podcast, and like you're listening to She Podcast. And if you want to editorialize about what the show is, our show, you can. Feel free, where Elsie and Jessica will kick your butt and take names or whatever. I don't know. Where Elsie will talk about oxidizing her children. Whatever.
Oxidizing.
And we'll play it. We will play it because I think it would be fun. But and you don't have to use Boss Jock. But when I do it, I'm going to use Boss Jock because I thought it was such a good idea for that app, is to use it to get other people to like play your game, kind of like play a game on your show. Or I just thought it'd be super fun.
Well, totally. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Oh my God. Speaking of that, I just thought of another. You know, Howard Stern, I know you don't listen to Howard Stern. Those of you who do, he always has like, guess what the jackass is saying? Like people who mumble or whatever.
Yeah, stuttering John. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's another thing you could do is like interview people and like have them play games. You have other people get, I don't know. Maybe that sounds mean now. But
have them play games.
But you can use Boss Jock to like, you know, like what if I saw you at Podcast Movement and I was like, guess Elsie's favorite candy. And
oh,
then
that
the
would
person
be so
has to
great.
Guess. And then you would say the answer. You could do that, something like that on Boss Jock, where you ask everyone a question and then you play a game where your co-host has to answer the questions.
I love it.
Well, how well do you know your fans or something? Not like guess what the mumbling
guy. Oh my God,
guy,
that would be the funniest.
Stuttering.
That's such a
terrible.
Brilliant idea. We have
yeah!
to write some like
just
super cool questions
idea.
And like attack people when we get just, to Podcast
yes.
Movement.
Well, we're going to do it. You and I are going to
oh my
do
God.
It. We both have Boss Jock. And
I'm so excited by
Yay!
That idea.
Okay. So that's it for me. That's it for us, I think.
Yes.
I just wanted to say thank you to Boss Jock and to Natalie for being our sponsors today episode. And as always, John Buchanis, who's our amazing editor. You don't know, but he did an amazing job this week trying to help us and fix our problem and do this episode always.
Yep.
He's always so good. He's doing it on the fly because we fucked up last week.
We
so.
Totally did. Sorry, John.
Love you, John. And he's also my co-host for the new show offintheweeds.com. If you guys want to check out, we're pretty funny, I think. You have to let me know. So thank you guys for listening. Check out shepodcast.com on Twitter, on Facebook, on Pinterest, on Snapchat. Elsie would like to, your Yogi Girl, you said?
Yes, Yogi Girl.
And I'm Jess Kupferman. And we will see you on the interwebs.
Yes.
Love you.
Mean it.
Bye. The rest.